بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we had began reading the point the author he mentioned about the remembrance of Allah سبحانه وتعالى ومن أكبر الأسباب لانشراح الصدر وطمأنينته الأكثر من ذكر الله. From the greatest means to find peace and ease in the heart and tranquility is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance, to remember Him often, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember Him and to mention Him with one's tongue, and to remember Him in the heart, and the heart to remember Allah and His greatness and His bounty and His favor, to remember His authority and command and His lordship, and that He is the one who has the ability to do all things, and that He is the one who has the attributes of perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that all good comes from Him alone, tabaraka wa ta'ala, all of the bounties and all of the blessings, to remember Him and to remember His favors and to remember His help and aid that He has for those who call on Him. And the heart will find great peace in this manner. This is what the Shaykh is saying, فَإِنَّ لِذَلِكَ تَأْثِيرًا عَجِيبًا فِي انشِرَاحِ صَدْرِ فِي انشِرَاحِ الصَّدْرِ وَطُمَانِينَتِهِ وَزَوَارِ هَمِّهِ وَغَمِّهِ. Because this here, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, has an amazing effect. It has an amazing effect on the peace that one finds in his heart, and the tranquility, and the removal of worry and grief. قال تعالى, the Most High, He says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. And verily, by the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find tranquility. The Shaykh, he says, فَلِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَثْرٌ عَظِيمٌ فِي حُصُورِ هَذَا الْمَطْلَبِ لِخَاصِيَتِهِ وَلِمَا يَرْجُوهُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ ثَوَابِهِ وَأَجْرِهِ. So the remembrance of Allah, it has a great effect in obtaining this issue here specifically, and the issue of bringing about peace and tranquility and happiness, and removing grief and worry and stress. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has a great effect and benefit in this affair. Rather, that is the foundation of the issue, and as has proceeded, any of the fundamental of this affair is the issue of al-iman, and the foundation of al-iman is al-imanu billah. Al-imanu billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bi tawheedihi. To believe in Allah, to believe in His tawheed, and to single Him out with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance, and seeking aid and help and protection, and to single Him out with all actions of worship inwardly and outwardly. This is by remembering Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. To remember Allah and to remember the meaning of Allah, it has a great effect on the heart. To remember Allah and the favors of Allah, the bounties of Allah, and the blessings of Allah, it has a tremendous effect on the heart. And this is what has come in a number of the adhkar, particularly with regards to al-qurub, adhkar al-qurub, and with regards to the adhkar and the remembrances, specifically with regards to dealing with hardship and difficulties. From that is that it has come in the sunnah, believer, he will say, La ilaha illallah al-azim al-halim, La ilaha illallah rabbu al-arsh al-azim, La ilaha illallah rabbu al-samawati wa rabbu al-ardi wa rabbu al-arsh al-kareem. Yani in this manner, he will repeat this. This is from the adhkar that one will mention whenever he is grieved, and whenever he is worried, whenever he is stressed, whenever a calamity befalls him. He will repeat the likes of this over and over. And also from those adhkar, اللهم رحمتك أرجو فلا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين وأصلح لي شأني كله لا إله إلا أنت. In this manner, likewise, the dua of Yunus عليه السلام, لا إله إلا الله سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. In this manner, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. And so this is the cure for the stress and distress that the heart finds, and the worry and the grief, to remember Allah and to remember His greatness and His glory and His lordship subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember His bounties and blessings, and to seek help and to seek aid in Him. And this is a tremendous way to remove grief and to remove worry. And the Shaykh, he mentioned closing this point, لِمَا يَرْجُوهُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ ثَوَابِهِ وَأَجْرِهِ. Because of what the person he hopes for, and by remembering Allah he hopes for, and from the reward and the good recompense with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the heart is created to remember Allah, and this is the cure for all of those diseases, to remember Allah and to remember His meaning. And also from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla is to remember His commandments and prohibitions, and to remember His deen and the path that leads to Him, and to strive against one's soul to follow that, to remember that which is obligatory and to perform that in the best manner, and to remember that which is prohibited and to avoid that and stay away from that in the best manner, seeking the reward of Allah and fearing the punishment of Allah, to remember the meeting of Allah, to remember the bounties and blessings of Allah. All of this is included here. So the remembrance, the foundation of that is in the heart, and likewise, it will be on the tongue, and likewise, in a person's life, he will show thanks to Allah by remembering Him and thanking Him by using those bounties in a manner pleasing. And this is a way for the pain and the heartache to go away and the grief to be removed, and for a person to find contentment and happiness, Likewise, the Shaykh, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ تَحَدُّثُ بِنِعَمِ اللَّهِ ظَاهِرًا وَالْبَاطِنَةً فَإِنَّ مَعْرِفَتَهَا وَتَحَدُّثَ بِهَا يَدْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْهَمَّ وَالْغَمُ وَيُحُثُّ عَلَى عَبْدَ عَلَى الشُّكْرِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَرْفَعُ الْمَرَاتِبِ وَعَلَاهَا حَتَّى وَلَوْ كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي حَالَةِ فَقْرٍ أَوْ مَرَضٍ أَوْ غَيْرِهِمَا مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْبَلَايَا فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا قَابَلَ بَيْنَ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الَّتِي لَا يُحْصَى لَهَا عَدٌّ ولا حساب وبين ما أصابه من مكروه لم يكن للمكروه إلى النعم نسبة So the Shaykh, he says, likewise from the means, from the beneficial means to have a good life, to remove the worry and the stress and the grief and the heartache, is to speak about the blessings of Allah, to speak about them. And it's a beautiful arrangement how he's mentioning this: first to remember Allah, and then after this to speak about the bounties and blessings of Allah. فَوَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the bounties of Allah, then speak about them. And it's been mentioned about this, first and foremost, the bounty of Al-Islam, to speak about that, and to speak about the favor and the blessing of Al-Islam, and to speak about this, the blessing of guidance, the blessing of bounties, the blessing of guidance and the beneficial knowledge and the success to the righteous actions and to follow the correct religion. And this is the head of the bounties and blessings that one, he will speak about, and he will confess and remember and review and go over with his brothers and the likes like this. So the Shaykh is saying this is the affair, and to remember and to speak about the blessings of Allah inwardly and outwardly, the inward blessings and outward blessings, any of the religious blessings that are from the religion and from the beneficial knowledge and from the good and the righteous actions, and likewise outwardly from the worldly affairs. All of this is from the means of removing the hardship and the grief and the worry. And at the peak of that again is to speak about and to remember the bounty of Islam. And from that is to learn about the beauty of Al-Islam and the beautiful aspects of the deen and the foundations and the fundamentals of the religion. From the greatest aspect of speaking about the blessings of Allah is to speak about Islam and to remember the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى مُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. So to remember the bounty of Allah with the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the revelation of the Quran and the completion of the legislation and the likes, and the success that one has to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is from the peak of the bounties and blessings that one, he will speak about, and that one, he will find peace and ease of mind, and the grief and worry will go away at this time. And also he mentioned rahimahullah, because this as well encourages the person to show thanks. This encourages the person to show thanks whenever he remembers the favors and the bounties and the blessings of Allah. The bounty of Islam and the bounty and the blessing of the Sunnah. Likewise, the bounty of health and safety and security, and the bounty of wealth and prosperity. All of these affairs, the good of this life, and the deen and the dunya. Whenever a person, he remembers these affairs and knows that there are bounties and favors from Allah, and he speaks about them, this will call him to remember that he must show thanks. That he must show thanks. And this is the case, in showing thanks is from the highest levels and from the greatest ranks in the religion. وَيُحُثُّ الْعَبْدَ عَلَى الشُّكْرِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَرْفَعُ الْمَرَاتِبِ وَعَلَاهَا. And that a person who will show thanks to Allah. So by remembering the bounties and blessings, then a person who will praise Allah and thank Him, he He'll praise Allah and thank Him, and He will be thankful and grateful. And this is from the highest levels and ranks. I need to be from ash-shakirin, to be from ash-shakirin. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِي الشَّكُورِ. And very few of the slaves of Allah's slaves, they are thankful. So the loftiest and the highest status is to be from those who are the people of shukr and show gratitude for the bounties and favors of Allah. So by remembering these blessings, this is what it calls a person to do. And in this manner, he will find peace and ease, and he will find satisfaction and contentment in his heart, alhamdulillah. And he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, even whenever a person, maybe he's in a state of poverty, or he's in a state of sickness, and other than that, from the different aspects of being tried, from the different aspects of trials and tribulations or calamities and hardships, he says, verily, whenever a person at this time, he compares the bounties and the blessings of Allah that cannot be counted nor enumerated, whenever he compares these blessings to the hardship that has befallen him, it would be as if the hardship has no comparison whatsoever. And if a person, he were to remember the bounties and the favors of Allah, even if he is himself inflicted with a hardship or a difficulty or calamity, for example, the loss of some property or wealth, then if he were to reflect now and to look back on his life previously, how many days, how many years, how many months have passed by whenever he had much wealth and prosperity, how many days was his life easy, and the likes like this, or if he's stricken with sickness or an ailment in his body or in his mind, and then no doubt this is a calamity and hardship. But if he were to compare this and to think about the blessings that have preceded, and the bounties and the favors that have preceded, and that which he still has as well at that moment, and those bounties and blessings in comparison to that hardship and difficulty outweigh the hardship by an amount that cannot even be compared in reality. So it'll make that hardship seem like it's nothing or little. And a person, he will remember the favors of Allah, even if he lost a loved one, or he lost a position in the dunya, or in his job, or whatever the trial may be. If he just remembered the favor of Islam, he still has his deen. Alhamdulillah, he was not tried in his religion. Alhamdulillah, he was not tried with shubuhat and doubts and misconceptions and misunderstandings in the religion. Alhamdulillah, he's holding fast to his prayer. Alhamdulillah, he holds fast to the sunnah of his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows this from himself, that he strives to be truthful in public and private with his Lord, and the likes like this, and following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this one bounty here is greater than all of that which had been taken or lost, or the hardships, and it would not even compare or be a comparison. So this is the point, and this is no doubt this would remove the worry and the grief and the hardship. If he's facing a difficulty, he'll look at all the greater bounties that he has. He will look at all the greater bounties that he has, and also that has preceded. If he's sick one or two days, he will think about a lifetime of health. If he's poor, and for some time, or out of a job for a month or two, he will think of the back of a lifetime. And now he will realize the bounty and blessing that he had all those days and all those months whenever he had a job and money was coming in and the likes like this. And he will remember now, or if his car broke down and he's having difficulty, he has to walk here and walk there now. And before that, he's moving around easily and comfortably. And the likes like this, at this time now, no doubt he's in that hardship, walking in the heat, for example, to the masjid or to the bus stop, so on and so forth. But he remembered those previous days, alhamdulillah, how many times had Allah saved him from that? And he had to live like this daily for a period, it would have been much more difficult. Or even he would say to himself, alhamdulillah, at least I have my health, I can walk. Many people, they cannot even walk to the bus stop. Many people, they cannot even come out of their house, so on and so forth. So he'll count the numerous blessings that he still has, and that also that had preceded in the favors of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and would drown out the calamity that has befallen him, and it would have no weight with him. And at this time, the stress and the worry over that affair will leave him by the permission of Allah. So that Shaykh, he says, بَلْ الْمَكْرُوهُ وَالْمَصَائِبُ إِذَا ابْتَلَى اللَّهُ بِهَا الْعَبْدِ وَأَدَّى فِيهَا وَظِيفَةِ الصَّبْرِ وَالرِّضَى وَالتَّسْلِيمِ هَانَتْ وَطْأَتُهَا وَخَفَّتْ مُؤْنَتُهَا وَكَانَ تَأَمُّلُ الْعَبْدِ لِأَجْلِهَا وَثَوَابِهَا وَكَانَ تَأَمُّلُ الْعَبْدِ لِأَجْلِهَا وَثَوَابِهَا وَتَعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ بِالْقِيَامِ بِوَظِيفَةِ الصَّبْرِ وَالرِّضَى يَدْعُو الْأَشْيَاءَ الْمُرَّةَ حَلَاوَةً فَتُنْسِيهِ حَلَاوَةَ فَتُنْسِيهِ حَلَاوَةُ أَجْلِهَا مَرَارَةَ صَبْرِهَا. So even to the extent that these disliked affairs or these calamities, if Allah, He tries a person with them, and then that individual is given success to be patient, to perform the function of patience, and to establish that great action of worship and servitude which is required at that time of calamity and hardship and adversity, if he is patient and he is pleased with the decree of Allah and he submits and surrenders, then the hardship and the difficulty of that will become lighter, and dealing with this will become easier for him. And the person at this time, if he starts to hope for the reward from Allah and good recompense from Allah, and he will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this time of calamity by establishing the great worship of patience and being pleased with the decree of Allah and the lordship of Allah, the sweetness of hoping for this reward and the likes like this will cause him to forget the bitterness of patience, the sweetness of hoping for the reward, and the sweetness that he finds in the servitude and the worship and the devotion that he has at the time of calamity to Allah Azza wa Jalla by being patient and by surrendering and submitting. The sweetness he finds in this aspect here will cause him to forget the bitterness of that difficulty and hardship and dealing with that, and dealing with that affair, and dealing with that affair. So again, these are beautiful points. Remembering the bounties and the favors and the blessings of Allah, and if are from the means to bring happiness in one's life and joy, and to bring about the worship of gratitude and showing thanks and praising Allah and thanking Him for the bounties and blessings. And then likewise, whenever a person realizes these favors are coming from Allah, then he will also hope even more that Allah will provide him greater blessings, and that the blessings will remain. So now his hope and his heart is attached to Allah. He realizes that he has good health, or that he has a strong mind, and he realizes that's a favor from Allah, and that it's a blessing from Allah alone, and He is the one who has authority over that and charge over that. So now he will hope in Allah Azza wa Jalla to continue that blessing for him, and to increase that blessing for him, and to put barakah and goodness in his health and his wealth and his time and the likes like this. Or if he finds that he has knowledge and he's been given success to have concern with his religion, to be obedient, then he will now realize that this is a favor from Allah, and he will thank Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. How many people are misguided? How many of the Muslims are deviant? How many, never mind the disbelievers, how many of the Muslims are deviant, or tried with innovations, or tried with doubts, or tried with sins, outwardly and the likes like this, tried with foul manners and a bad way and misconceptions in their religion? Waliyadhu billah. But alhamdulillah, he finds that he has a concern for his deen and a concern for being obedient and the likes like this, and he will realize now this is from the bounty of Allah upon him. He will praise Allah and thank Him, and now this will cause his heart to hope in Allah that he will have this blessing to continue and to remain and to stay, and he will have more of the favor of Allah. To have more of the favor of Allah. So in this manner, his heart becomes attached to Allah and hoping for the reward and the bounty of Allah and the remembrance of Allah. And at this time, there's no place in his heart for worry and for grief. There's no place in his heart for worry and for grief and for stress, because it's attached to Allah entirely like this. And even in the times of calamity as well, he remembers it's a trial from Allah, and he will submit and surrender. And he has come in the narration of Alqamah Ibn Qais al-Nakhai with regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ يُسِيبُهُ تُسِيبُهُ الْمُسِيبَةِ فَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّهَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَيَرْضَى وَيُسَلِّمْ فَيَرْضَى وَيُسَلِّمْ. This is وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Allah, He says, and whoever believes in Allah, then Allah will guide his heart. Alqama, he mentioned rahimahullah from the Tabi'een, that this is a man that a calamity will befall him, and he knows that it's from Allah, and he will be pleased with the decree, and he will submit and surrender to that. And he will submit and surrender to that. I mean, at this time, Allah will guide that person's heart. Yani to be satisfied and to be content with the decree of Allah and to find the sweetness of faith. And the Shaykh is saying at this time now, that sweetness that he finds in his iman and his devotion and ikhlas and servitude to Allah Azza wa Jalla will cause him to forget the bitterness and the hardship of that calamity. The bitterness and the hardship of that calamity. After this, the Shaykh, he says, وَمَنْ أَنْفَعِ الْأَشْيَاءِ فِي هَذَا الْمَوْضِعِ اسْتِعْمَالُ مَا أَرْشَدَ إِلَيْهِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ حَيْثُ قَالَ انظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَا تَنظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And also from the most beneficial things with regards to this topic and this subject is to use that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had directed the people to in this authentic narration, and that is his statement sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum." Look to those who are lower than you. Look to those who are lower than you. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ. And do not look at those who are above you. And do not look at those who are above you. وَنْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. وَلَا تَنْظُرُوا إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكُمْ فَإِنُّهُ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Because it is more rightful at this time that you will not belittle the bounty of Allah upon you. That you will not belittle the blessing of Allah upon you. Look at those who are under you. And do not look at those who are above you. Because in this manner, it is more rightful that you will not start to belittle and take light the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. So a person, if he is in poverty, he will not look at the wealthy. And if a person, he is struck with sickness and the likes like this, he will not look at the healthy. Rather, he will look at those who are sicker than him. And he will look at those who are more impoverished than him. And the likes like this. Because if a person, he is stricken with poverty, and then he's always looking at the wealthy and the likes like this, this will cause him to forget the blessings that he does have, the blessings and the bounties that he does have. Maybe he has been stricken with a sickness, but this is a type of sickness that's, you know, it can be cured. Generally, what is known from this type of sickness is that it goes away, and the likes like this, or any similar to this affair. Then if, at this time, if he starts looking at the other people running around, maybe he will find he has nothing, or think that he has nothing, but in reality he has a lot compared to those who are lesser than him. There are others who are sicker than him who are walking around carrying bags that they use for the restroom, akramakum Allah. And there are others who are not even walking, rather they have wheelchairs, or there are others that are not even out of their house, rather they're stuck in a bed in a hospital. And the likes like this, they can't even move. Other people, they can't even eat food, they have tubes. Any that they're being fed through, and the likes like this. Other people, some of them, they have to have their kidneys cleaned, and they'll be on machines, and the likes like this. Any great calamities, greater than that which that person is facing. But if he were to look at those who are above him, maybe he will belittle the circumstance that he's in. And in reality, compared to much of the people, he has a great bounty and blessing. He has a great bounty and blessing. So this is the case. A believer, he will look at those who are lesser than him. He will look at those who are lesser than him. This is with regards to the worldly affairs. This is with regards to the worldly affairs. As for in the religion, he will look at those who are above him, and he will try to catch up with them and try to follow them and take them as a role model. As for in the religious affairs, he will look at those who are advanced, and he will try to be like them, and he will try to follow them and to imitate them and to take them as role models and the likes like this. As for in the worldly affairs, then he looks at those who are lower than him, and he looks at those who are tried in a worse situation than he is, and then he will show thanks. Alhamdulillah, I'm not like that person. Alhamdulillah, I'm not like that person. Or even in the religious affairs, likewise, if he's seen people who's tried in their religion and tried in their manners and conduct, or tried with disobedience and the likes like this, he will still praise Allah. And this is as well as from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever one he sees a mubtala, a person tried with sins and the likes like that, and disobedience and misguidance, you say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani mimma abtilahum bih. Wa faddalani ala kathiri mimma khalaqa tafdeelan. All praise and thanks is to Allah who has saved me from what he tried that person with, or those people with. And a person, he may say that every time he goes out of his house, he sees those crazy people walking down the street, or the ignorant people driving in their cars, and the likes like this, or the misguided people in the markets, and the thoughts that they have, and the statements that they make, and the manner that they walk, and how they come out of their homes, in a despicable manner, and the likes like this, you say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani mimma abtilahu bih. All praise and thanks is to Allah who saved me, who protected me from what he tried that person with. And this is the case, that a person, you'll see also, if he's seen calamities and hardships, you say, Alhamdulillah, This is a great supplication. Just to remember يعني, the great favor that one has from Allah Azza wa Jal over many of the people. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. And He has preferred me over many of the people that He has created, over many of His creation, or much of His creation, يعني, in a great manner. So a believer, he remembers the bounties and blessings of Allah, and he will look at those who are less. Look at those who are under him. Look at those who are tried in a worse manner. And in this way he will realize the great blessings and bounties that he has, and that that worry and stress will go away. So the Shaykh, he says, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا نَصَبَ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ هَذَا الْمَلْحَظَ الْجَلِيلِ رَأَهُ يَفُوقُ جَمْعًا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخَلْقِ فِي الْعَافِيَةِ وَتَوَابِعِهَا وَفِي الرِّزْقِ وَتَوَابِعِهِ مهما بلغت به الحال فيزول خلقه وهمه وغمه ويزداد سروره واغتباطه بنعم الله التي فاق فيها غيره ممن هو دونه فيها. And so by applying this narration, looking at those who are lesser than you, not at those who are above you, the Shaykh says the slave, a person, if he were to make this and in front of his eyes and to focus on this noble point and aspect right here, he will find that he has preceded much of the creation, and that he is in a better state. And if he were to think like this, he will find that he's in a better state than much of the creation with regards to wellness and well-being and safety and security and that which comes along with that. Also with regards to provision and wealth and prosperity and that which comes along with that, that he has, no matter what his situation may be, he has preceded a lot of people. He has surpassed many of the people in these affairs, even if he is any poor, or even if he's tried, or even if he is sick and the likes like this. If he were to look at those lesser than him, he will realize that he has preceded much of the people, and he is in a much better state than many individuals. Many individuals. Somebody who's sick now, he could just think about those in the hospital. Alhamdulillah, he's sick in his home. He's not sick in the hospital. How many people are sick in the hospital? If he's sick at his house, he has his family taking care of him. Alhamdulillah, it's not somebody in the hospital taking care of him. How many hospitals are full? So then he'll realize all those people in the hospital, he's doing better than all of them. He's in all of them. And plus, in this manner like this, a person, he has a difficulty in his manner. Look around in these neighborhoods. You'll find even in some of these parking lots here, down the street on Reed, and likes like this, you'll pull over in a parking lot and there are tents there. Any people living in tents? Any right here off Hurston Road, down the street, not even 2 miles, 3 miles from here? And if there are tents there, people living in tents. So he said, Alhamdulillah, I have a house. Alhamdulillah, I have a house. And the tent, wallahu a'lam, it doesn't have AC. Wallahu a'lam, it doesn't have AC. And the likes like this. So this is something that a believer, he will look at others who are lesser than him. And this man of the Shaykh, he says, no matter what his situation is, and he will realize that he's in a better condition than many of the people. He'll realize that he's in a better condition than many of the people. At this time, his worry and his stress and his grief will go away. And he will increase in happiness. And he will rejoice over the bounties and blessings of Allah that he has surpassed much of the people with regards to. So again, thanking Allah, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, like the one who says, Alhamdulillah, I'm not in the hospital. Alhamdulillah, I'm still able to walk. Alhamdulillah, I have someone taking care of me. Even before all of that, Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Sunni. Alhamdulillah, I love Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman and Ali. Alhamdulillah, like this, I strive to be on the way of a Salaf al-Salih. Like this surpasses all of the bounties and all of the blessings. And this is the head of them and the foundation of them. So the Shaykh, he says, وَكُلَّمَا طَالَ تَأَمُّلُوا تأمل العبد بنعم الله الظاهرة والباطنة الدينية والدنيوية رأى ربه قد أعطاه خيرا كثيرا ودفع عنه شرور متعددة ولا شك أن هذا يدفع الهموم والغموم ويجيب الفرحة والسرور. So whenever a person, or the longer a person, he ponders and reflects over the bounties of Allah inwardly and outwardly, religiously and in the worldly life, the longer or the more a person reflects over these affairs, he will find that his Lord has given him an abundance of goodness and has repelled for him numerous aspects of evil. And we understand the point. And this is a beautiful aspect. And he's giving great light on that narration. انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم. This is the prophetic narration and guidance from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Bukhari. Look at those who are lesser than you. ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. And do not look at those who are above you. فإنه أجدر لكم ألا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. Because this is more rightful that you will not belittle the bounty of Allah upon you. This is more rightful that you will not belittle the blessing of Allah upon you. From the major sins is to belittle the bounties of Allah and the favors of Allah. To belittle the favors and the blessings of Allah is from the major sins and from the worst of all ways. To belittle the favors of Allah and the blessings of Allah upon a person. So in order to not do that, you follow this way that the Shaykh is mentioning, rahimahullah. And the one who does this, he will realize the great favor that Allah has upon him. And the great blessings that he has preceded much of the people with regards to, and also much evil and hardship and difficulty that he's saved from by the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter his condition. The Shaykh, he says, and no doubt, the one who does this in this manner, this will repel and remove much of the worry and the grief and the concern, and will bring about for him joy and happiness. It will bring about for him joy and happiness. So this one here is another tremendous point. Each one of these issues is something a believer he has to reflect over. And to remember, in times of goodness, and likewise in times of difficulty, to remember these affairs, and to apply them in one's life, فصلٌ ومن الأسباب المجيبة للسرور وزوال الهم والغم السعي في إزالة الأسباب الجاربة للهموم وفي تحصيل الأسباب الجاربة للسرور وذلك بنسيان ما مضى عليه من المكاره التي لا يمكنه ردها ومعرفته أن اشتغال فكره فيها من باب العبث والمحال وأن ذلك حمق وجنون فيجاهد قلبه على التفكر فيها وكذلك يجاهد قلبه على خلقه لما يستقبله مما يتوهمه من فقر أو خوف أو غيرهما من المكاره التي يتخيلها في مستقبل حياته فيعلم أن الأمور المستقبلة مجهور ما يقع فيها من خير وشر وأمال وآلام وأنها بيد العزيز الحكيم ليس بيد العباد منها شيء إلا السعي في تحصيل خيراتها ودفع مضراتها ويعلم العبد أنه إذا صرف فكره عن خلقه من أجل مستقبل أمره واتكل على ربه في إصلاحه واطمأن إليه في ذلك إذا فعل ذلك اطمأن قلبه وصالحت أحواله وزال عنه همه وخلقه. So the Shaykh, he says now that also from the means that bring about happiness and remove grief and worry is to hasten to remove the means that bring about the concern. And to hasten to remove the means that bring about the concern and to obtain the means that bring about happiness. And there are things in life that will cause a person to worry and bring about concern. He will try to remove those things from his life if he can. He will try to get rid of them and remove them entirely. And likewise, there are other affairs in life that will bring about happiness and joy. There are means that bring about that happiness and joy. He will try to obtain those means. For example, from the means that bring about happiness and joy is his sincere faith. So he will try to rectify his faith. And he will try to establish the obligations properly and avoid the prohibitions. Many times a person, if he finds that he has stress and worry and grief and hardship in his life, he should look no further than his obedience to Allah. Many times the reason why the heart is trying with these pains and hardships and difficulties and things are not going right and the likes like this is because he's been disobeying Allah. Even some of the Salaf, they would say that they see their disobedience in their wife and in their riding animal. And the effects of their disobedience, they would disobey Allah and they would see the bad effects of that. And in the manner that their wife would deal with them. And in the manner that their animal would treat them. Any things would not go right in the likes like this for them. And they would realize that this is from their sins. And one of them would say that he would leave his home and seek forgiveness and return home. And the wife, her manners would be better. and she would treat him in a better way, and the animal would begin to cooperate, and the lice like this. All of this is in the hands of Allah. So this is another way to realize that many times these difficulties and hardships that we face are from that which our own hands have brought about. That which our own hands have brought about from sin and from disobedience and from negligence and the likes like this. So to repent and to return to Allah. And no doubt this is from the greatest means that remove the worry and the stress and the harm. And this is from the means that he's referring to. But what he's saying now, he says that this is so to remove the means that bring about worry and grief, and to bring about the means to bring happiness. So he's saying, rahimahullah, this is by forgetting that which has proceeded from the disliked and the harmful affairs, that it's not possible for him to change them. That which has proceeded in life, some people, they dwell on the past. So-and-so, he did this to me, or so-and-so, she did that to me, or this happened to me when I was young, or this happened, or that person, he betrayed me, or this person, or that person, or so-and-so died, and I loved him so much, or whatever the case may be, these are affairs that have proceeded in the past. That cannot be changed. And these are affairs that happen by the decree of Allah and the command of Allah, whatever the case may be. Even or a person, he made a mistake, for example, and he made a mistake and he lost out because of his own shortcoming or negligence and the likes like this. And he will not dwell on these affairs. He will not dwell on these affairs. Had I only done this, and should I have done this, or why didn't I do this, and so on and so forth. He will not dwell upon these affairs. And he should realize that being preoccupied with these things and thinking about these things is from the aspect of abath, when muhadith, it's wasting time. It's wasting time. These affairs cannot be changed. You cannot go back and change what happened in the past. And from the actions and the deeds. And if it was a sin, again, all he would have to do is repent to Allah sincerely, and he can rectify that. But what happened and what occurred, it occurred. It occurred. And the likes like this. So a believer, he will not dwell on these affairs and think about these affairs. And he must realize that pondering and busying himself and preoccupying his thoughts with that which happened in the past from those disliked and painful events, trying to dwell upon this is abath wal muhal. It's wasting time and something that's impossible. It has no benefit whatsoever. Wa nadhalika humqun wa junun. And in reality, this is stupidity and insanity. And to dwell on these things, there's nothing he can do about that. He's nothing he can do about that. And from changing those events. Again, if he had taken somebody's right, he can rectify that by giving it back. Or if he had any disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will rectify that by repenting. And there are some means that person could take to rectify his mistakes in the past. But in general, the events that occurred, any a person, he will not dwell upon them. And he will not reflect upon them and the likes like this and be preoccupied with them. So he says, فَيُجَاهِدُ قَلْبَهُ أَتَفَكُّرِ فِيهَا. يعني عن فَيُجَاهِدُ قَلْبَهُ عَنْ أَتَفَكُّرِ فِيهَا. I read it before Allah. I was wondering, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, when is going to change the meaning, huh? فَيُجَاهِدُ قَلْبَهُ عَنْ أَتَفَكُّرِ فِيهَا. That's a big difference between harf jar, huh? عَلَى وَعَنْ. نعم. The Shaykh said, عَنْ فَيُجَاهِدُ قَلْبَهُ عَنْ أَتَفَكُّرِ فِيهَا. وَكَذَلِكَ يُجَاهِلُ قَلْبَهُ عَنْ خَلَقِهِ لِمَا يَسْتَقْبِلُهُ. So the person now, he will strive against his heart to not ponder and reflect over those things. He will strive against his heart to not ponder and reflect over these things. And for example, a person, maybe he had an accident. Again, so we can understand the point better. Maybe he had an accident. Maybe it was his fault. Maybe somebody got hurt. Or something like this. And he will not think about, you know, all of these affairs. If there's something legislated for him to take care of because of that, and he'd be like paying a diya, for example, or paying the arsh and the likes like this, or the recompense, and the likes like this, he'll pay that. He will do that. But the point is, like, this issue cannot be changed. He cannot go back. He cannot think, oh, why didn't I just slow down? I should have never ran the light. I should have never, like, he will not dwell upon these affairs and let these affairs, and he rip his heart apart and tear him apart from the inside. Rather, the Shaykh is saying, he'll strive against his soul to not think about these things and to not ponder and reflect upon these things. And he'll strive against his soul to also not worry about what's going to happen in the future. And to not worry about what's going to happen in the future from that which he is in delusion about, or what he's imagining, that maybe poverty will come, or he's fearing this will happen in the future. Maybe this is going to happen, or maybe that's going to happen. And this is something that many times you find in the news. They're trying to scare the people like this. And the prices are going to happen like this, or this is a sign that this is going to happen, or if this country does this, then that's going to do that, and that country's going to do this, and next thing, this is going to happen. And like giving all of these theories and the likes like this. And these are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are in the hands that this is all preoccupying a person and causing him to be worried and to be afraid of other than Allah. He should be afraid of Allah alone and know that nothing is going to happen. That country cannot do nothing, or neither can that country, and they cannot respond, and this cannot happen. And if they did this, this cannot happen neither, except with the command of Allah and by the decree of Allah. We're all slaves to Allah. We're all creations of Allah. So then he's going to go back to his tawheed and to his iman. He's not going to worry about those things. What's going to happen in the future? What about this happens, or what about that happens, or if this country does that, or what about if this goes happen, or this anything? He will not worry about like this. He was striving in his heart not to delve into these affairs from that which he imagines might happen in the future in his life. What if I get sick, or what if I this happens to me, or what if my children, or what if my job, or what if? This one has no ending. This one has no ending. Shaitan will tear a person apart like this. The Shaykh is saying, do not get involved in this. A person who strives against his heart not to dwell and to ponder and to think about these things. And then he will know that the future events are unknown to us. And they're unknown to you. They're unknown to me. The future events are unknown to a person. He doesn't know what's going to happen from good and from evil, and from good times and from bad times, and the likes like this. And rather, all of these affairs that happen in the future, they're in the hands of Al-Aziz Al-Hakim, the Almighty and the All-Wise. And the people, they have no hand in that whatsoever. The people, no one has a hand in that whatsoever. Everything that happens is from the command and the decree of Allah. Everything that happens in this creation is from the command and the degree and the will and the permission of Allah. And if it's decreed, it will happen. If it's decreed, it will happen. And this is the case. That whatever Allah has written for you is going to befall you. And whatever Allah did not write for you, it's not going to befall you. What is the hadith? لَمْ بِكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكْ. How does the portion of the hadith start? That which Allah has written for you is going to befall you. It's going to befall you. And that which Allah did not write for you, I mean he did not decree, it will not befall you. It will not befall you. And so this is the case. A believer, he relies and he has faith in this affair, in the decree of Allah. It's in the hands of Allah, not in the hands of the people. So the people, they have no say in this, no hand in this whatsoever, he's saying, except to hasten to obtain the good and to avoid and stay away from the harms. And this is the case. Again, going back to the time at hand. So the people that we have no hand in what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to happen to the future. The only thing that we can do about our future is strive right now to take the path to good, take the means to goodness, and to avoid the pathways of evil, to stay away from harm. And to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now and take the avenues of khair that are allowed for us and advance upon that way and take the means to do good and to avoid evil. And then what happens is in the hands of Allah. So we have no hand in the future except that. And to deal with the time at hand, again, going back to the principle that had preceded. And to be Ibn Yomik. And to take care of the time right now and to advance upon your life at this moment and take care of what is obligatory upon you right now and to be concerned about that affair and perfecting the actions and the deeds that you're involved in at this moment. So this is the case here. This is all you have with regards to these affairs. And the slave, he must know that if he has turned his thoughts away from his worries and the likes like this and thinking about the future, and he put his trust in his Lord, then he put his trust in his Lord in rectifying his affairs, and then he is content with that. If he did all of this, then his heart will find contentment and his situations will be rectified, and his grief and his worry and stress will be removed. His worry and his stress will be removed. So again, this point here It is about any relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing that the command is the command of Allah and the decree is the decree of Allah, and nothing can happen in the future and except with the permission of Allah. So a person, he will not be worried and afraid of what may happen. He will not think and imagine any of the events that could happen tomorrow or in the future and the likes like this. And because he has no hand in that. The only thing he can do is for his future is work now in the obedience of Allah. And strive against his soul to be obedient to Allah by performing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions. And as for the affairs of the past, likewise, it's only foolishness and ignorance that he would dwell on them and think about them and the likes like this. And rather, he would not dwell on that. And if it was from the aspect of sin or transgression, he will rectify that by taking the legislative means of seeking repentance, or if he had harmed somebody, he will ask for pardon and the likes like that. That's from the affairs of the past. As for the issues that were decreed and they had befallen, he will not dwell on them. He cannot change them. He cannot change them. So then it's ignorance and foolishness to think about that and to reflect upon that and to ponder upon that. Rather, he should focus on the time at hand and put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put his faith in Allah and hope that Allah rectifies the affair. In this manner, he will find much good and happiness, and that his in reality, Allah will rectify his affairs for him, and Allah will facilitate for him, and Allah will remove the worry and the pain and the heartache from his heart, and because of this affair, alhamdulillah. After this, the Shaykh, he says, وَمِنْ أَنْفَعِ مَا يُكُونُ فِي مُلَاحَظَةِ مُسْتَقْبَلِ الْأُمُورِ اسْتِعْمَالُ هَذَا الدُّعَاءِ الَّذِي كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَدْعُو بِهِ. He said, and from the most beneficial things in observing and thinking about the future, the future affairs, the future of events, a person, he's thinking about the future and the likes like this, the most beneficial things with regards to contemplating and thinking about the future is to use this supplication that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to supplicate with. And it's the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allahumma aslih li dini alladhi hu ismatu amri, wa aslih li dunyaya allati fiha ma'ashi, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي آخِرَتِي أَلَّتِي, it says here, إِلَيْهَا مَعَادِي. In Sahih Muslim it says, أَلَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَادِي. Yani the وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ, as we have seen before, the Shaykh, he wrote this from memory. Not from books, huh? وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ, he wrote this from memory. In Sahih Muslim it says, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي آخِرَتِي أَلَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَادِي, وَجَعَلْ الْحَيَاةَ زِيَادَةً لِي فِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. Here it says, وَالْمَوْتَ رَحَةً لِي مِنْ كُلِّ شَرْ. Also in Sahih Muslim, وَجْعَلْ الْمَوْتَ رَحَةً لِي مِنْ كُلِّ شَرْ. مِنْ كُلِّ شَرْ. So this is a beautiful supplication, an amazing supplication that the Shaykh is indicating here. It's authentic in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, oh Allah, rectify for me my religion, rectify for me my deen, which is the means of my savior and sanctity. يعني اسمه تو أمري. And that means for my whole affair to be protected. And this is the case he's beginning with this affair, asking for rectification in these three affairs. First and foremost, rectification in the religion. Oh Allah, rectify for me my religion. And meaning set my religion upright, and make my religion good. Give me success to have the proper creed and proper belief. Give me success, rectify my deen for me. Make me from those who are upright, steadfast upon the straight path, and performing the obligations and staying away from the prohibitions. And this is the reality of being upright and having the religion rectified, that a person, he will have the proper creed first and foremost and the proper belief, and he will know the understanding of his faith, and that which is obligatory to know with regards to the religion and creed and belief in Allah, and belief in the angels, belief in the books, belief in the messengers alayhi salatu wasalam, belief in the last day and the events that occur at death, and the likes, and belief in the decree of Allah. He has the general outline of this, and he knows it well. His creed is clear. He doesn't have doubts about what he believes in. He believes in Allah, and he believes in prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. He believes in the last day. He believes in Jannah. He believes in Nar. He has some details about this affair likewise. He doesn't have doubts in these affairs. And then he strives with that belief to fulfill the obligations in one day and one night, and to avoid the prohibitions in that same day and that night. And in this manner, the deen is rectified. The deen is rectified. But the beautiful point here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَذِي هُوَ عِسْمَةُ أَمْرِي. عِسْمَةُ شَيْءٍ is حَافِظُ شَيْءٍ. The one that the means of protection, my whole affair, it's the savior and the sanctity and the means of protection. If a person's religion is protected, his whole life is protected by بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. If a person, his religion is strong and his deen is upright and good, then he has no concerns and no worries. And this is what the whole treatise is about. So the Shaykh is saying to make this supplication, Allahumma aslih li deeni alladhi hu ismatu amri wa aslih li dunyaya allati fiha ma'ashi, and also rectify for me my worldly affair which by way of it is my livelihood. So he's making dua likewise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the worldly life to be rectified as well. And this is by being sufficed, that Allah will provide a person with that which is sufficient for him, that Allah will make his provision in a manner that will suffice him, where he doesn't have to beg people and the likes like this. And in this manner, he will be sufficed, he will be upright, his worldly affair is good, he has his meat and bread, he has his food, he has his bills paid, and it's all from halal provision, it's from a good path, it's from a good way, and his needs are met, and his children are clothed, and they're fed, and likewise he's fed, and maybe he has some extra money likewise for some luxury affairs, and the likes like this, meaning that his worldly affair will be rectified, he will be given success to have the provision that he needs, that takes care of his basic needs, and the likes like this. If he had more than that, this is favor upon favor, and light upon light, alhamdulillah. So the person, if he has his worldly affair rectified, which is the means for his livelihood, meaning that he is content with what he's been given first and foremost, and that he's been given success to have halal provision, and to have enough provision that is sufficient for him and his family. That is sufficient for him and his family. This is a beautiful affair. This is a beautiful way. Alhamdulillah. So this is what a believer hopes for. Allahumma aslih li dunyaya allati fiha ma'ashi. Oh Allah, rectify for me my worldly affair. What does that mean? And he provide for me that which is sufficient for me to live peacefully and safely, and avoid falling into that which is haram or doubtful. Make it easy for me to find a living that's halal. Make it easy for me to find enough provision that's good for me and my family, that is from the wholesome and that which is allowed. Like this. This is a beautiful supplication from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي أَخِيرَتِي أَلَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَدِي, and rectify for me my hereafter, which is my place of return. And rectify for me my hereafter, which is my place of return, any of the place that we're already returning to, any of the hereafter. So the rectification of the hereafter is by be given success in this life to be obedient to Allah with sincerity and following the Sunnah of the Prophet. If a person, he wants to rectify his hereafter, then he must begin right now. He must begin right now. If a person, he wants to rectify his hereafter, hoping to have a good hereafter, he must have a good life now. And so the hereafter is rectified with obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is, and he going back to the first supplication. And they're all actually related. And this is a beautiful affair, similar like this, and the supplication in the morning. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an, rizqan tayyiban, wa 'amalan mutaqabbalan. How they're all related. Allahumma inni as'aluka the beneficial knowledge. By way of that, you can have provision that's halal. And by way of that, your deeds can be accepted. So likewise here, if a person is given success in his religion to have a strong deen, then his provision will suffice him, and his provision will be halal. So it's going all back to the religion again, it's the foundation of the affair. And likewise the hereafter, rectify for me my hereafter, meaning give me success to do the deeds of the hereafter with sincerity and properly in a manner pleasing to you, O Allah. This is such a beautiful supplication for one to reflect and to ponder over. وَجْعَلْ الْحَيَاةِ وَجْعَلْ الْحَيَاةَ زِيَادَةً لِي فِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ, and make this life an increase for me in every good. So even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking for an increase in goodness in this life, and an increase in the good provision, increase in the prosperity and in the wealth and the health and the safety and the good of this life. And alhamdulillah, وَجَعَلَ الْمَوْتَ رَحَةً لِي مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ, and make death a means of relaxation and ease for me from every evil, meaning from the trials and the hardships and the difficulty of this life. And the difficulties of this life. And this is the case. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's seen a janazah being taken to the grave, and he mentioned mustarahun minhu, mustarihun wa mustarahun minhu, mustarihun wa mustarahun minhu. One of them is he's going to relaxation, he's going to a state of peace and ease, and the other one, the people, they are going to be in a state of peace and ease from him. So some people, whenever they die, the people are safe from their evil. And others, whenever they die, they're safe from the evil of this life. So a person should pick which one he wants to be. As for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has to be like this. وَجْعَلَ الْمَوْتَ رَاحَةً لِي مِنْ كُلِ شَارٍ. Oh Allah, make death a means of ease for me. A means of ease for me from every evil. From every evil, from every trial, from every test, from every hardship in the life like this. And this is by hoping to have a good death. Hoping to die upon piety. Hoping to die upon righteousness with the proper creed and belief. Hoping to die having good thoughts about Allah and being upon obedience and the likes like this. So all of this goes back to the issue of the religion. This is a beautiful supplication that the Shaykh he's mentioning here. So the person who is hoping to have a good life in the future, from the means, first and foremost, to obtain that is to ask Allah and to call on Him. And from the best supplications are the supplications that have come in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah. And from the beautiful supplications related to the affairs of the future, the supplication here. Allahumma aslih li dini alladhi hu ismatu amri. Wa aslih li dunyaya allati fiha ma'ashi. Wa aslih li akhirati allati fiha ma'adi. Waj'al al-hayata ziyadatan li fi kulli khayr. Waj'al al-mawta rahatan li min kulli shar. Min kulli shar. Again, the supplication, O Allah, rectify for me my religion, my deen, which is my means of safety for my whole, in charge and safety and security in all of my affairs. And rectify for me my worldly affair, which is my means of livelihood. And rectify for me my hereafter, which is my place of return and in my final destination and abode. And rectify and make my life a means of increase from every good, and make my death a means of ease and safety from every evil. Allahu Akbar. So the Shaykh, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ, and also with regards to this, these supplications specifically with regards to removing the worries and the grief and the concern, specifically with regards to the future, اللهم رحمتك أرجو فلا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين وأصلح لي شأني كله لا إله إلا أنت. Oh Allah, your mercy alone I hope for. Do not entrust me to myself for the blinking of an eye, and rectify my affair for me, all of it. There's nothing worthy of worship except for you. This is also a beautiful, beautiful supplication. Again, this is specific from the supplications of grief and distress and hardship. Allahumma rahmataka arju fala takilni ila nafsi tarfata ain. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي شَأْنِي كُلَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Oh Allah, your mercy alone do I hope for. Do not entrust me to my soul for the blinking of an eye. And help me and guide me and protect me in every circumstance. Make your guidance a means of life for me in every situation. And do not cause me to be from those who follow my desires. And if the one who is entrusted to his own soul, he follows his desires. And the one who Allah did not trust him to his own souls for the blinking of an eye, then Allah is guiding him by the light of the revelation and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in every circumstance. So this is the request. Wa aslih li sha'ni kullah, and rectify for me my affair, all of it. It goes back to the affair of the religion, the affair of the worldly matter, and the affair of the hereafter. So this one is summarizing all of that. This one is summarizing all of that in this manner. In the print I have the hamza here on aslih is hamza al wasl. It should be a hamza al qata', should be a hamza written on top of there. Wa aslih li sha'ni kullahu la ilaha illa anta. So the Shaykh, he said, fa idha lahij al abdu bi hadha al du'a alladhi fihi salah mustaqbalihi الديني والدنيوي بقلب حاضر ونية صادقة مع اجتهاده فيما يحقق ذلك حقق الله له ما دعاه ورجاه وعمل له وانقلب همه فرحا وسرورا. So a person, if he became fond of this supplication and he repeated it often, calling on Allah with the likes of these supplications, which is included in, which includes the rectification of the future affair, in the religion and in the worldly affairs, he made that supplication with the heart that is present, with the heart that is alive, meaning he knows what he's saying, and whatever he's saying, he's reflecting upon that. So there's to say it with a heart that is alive, with a heart and a mind that is present, that first the person has to know what it means. But even then, it's not enough. Sometimes we even learn the meaning of these supplications, but then sometimes we will still say them and the heart is still not alive. So a person, he has to know what they mean and then say it whenever he means it. And he, so he'll know what he's saying and he'll say it when his heart is reflecting on the meanings. And he's hoping for that affair. Allahumma aslih li dini. Oh Allah, rectify my religion for me. He's hoping for that. He says that with his tongue and his heart is alive. He knows what he's saying and he wants that. The heart wants that. The heart is calling on Allah. This is so important for the supplication to be accepted. That the heart is the tongue is calling on Allah, but the heart is calling on Allah likewise. Calling on Allah for this affair. Oh Allah, rectify my religion for me. Oh Allah, rectify my worldly affair for me. Oh Allah, rectify my hereafter for me. Oh Allah, provide for me provision that is good. Oh Allah, I hope for your mercy. Like this, and the heart is truly hoping in Allah. The heart is truly worshiping Allah at the same time. At this manner, the Shaykh is saying, with a person, he has a heart that is alive and he has an intention that is truthful and he works hard and strives along with that to obtain those affairs. And he's hinting to that which has preceded, huh? That whenever there's an encouragement to make a supplication, along with that supplication, one must take the means to obtain that supplication. Yani that which he's asking for. If he's asking for some wealth and the likes like this, or asking for some knowledge, or a beneficial affair in this life, religious or worldly, that he'll supplicate to Allah, put his faith and trust in Allah, and along with that, he'll take the means and work for that. And if he's asking for protection from some harm, or some danger in his deen or in his dunya, likewise, he will seek refuge with Allah from that, and then he'll take the means to avoid that affair. He'll take the means to avoid that affair likewise. So this is what he's saying. If a person, he made the likes of these supplications, what his heart is reflecting, and his heart is alive and present, and he's truthful, he has a true intention, and he's truthful with Allah at that time, along with striving to take the means to actualize this affair, then Allah will fulfill that for him. Then Allah will fulfill that supplication for him and he will give him what he hoped for and what he worked for. Then Allah will fulfill that for him and he will give him what he hoped for and what he worked for. And at this time, his worry will turn into happiness and joy. His worry will turn into happiness and joy. This amazing affair. A person, he'll be worried and that turns into happiness and joy. A person, he'll be scared and that will turn into safety and security. A person, he'll be stressed and that'll turn by faith and righteous deeds. By faith and righteous deeds, that would turn into rest and relaxation, contentment and happiness. And it, like this, it will turn like that, like night and day. And the whenever the person, he actualizes his faith and he works any truthfully and sincerely upon his iman, the goodness that will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the goodness that will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.